A long life, longevity, has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I know that every American of goodwill joins me in mourning the death of this outstanding leader and in praying for peace and understanding throughout this land.
You can accept it. You will leave those state troopers brothers with their own barbarity. If you can accept it, you will do something that will transform conditions here in Alabama. So I'm not worried this afternoon, however dark it may be. However difficult it may be, I know that it is true that truth forever on the Sabbath, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes, sir.
That is another part of that great statement. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. William Cullen Bryant is right. True fresh the earth. We rise again. The Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm only going to talk to you just for a minute or so this evening because I have some very sad news for all of you, and I think sad news for all of our fellow citizens and people who love peace all over the world. And that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country in greater polarization. Black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites, filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that has spread across our land, with an effort to understand compassion and love. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed. But he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Asleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own day despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, and a feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black. So I ask you tonight to return home, to say a prayer for the family, Martin Luther King, yes, true, but more importantly, to say a prayer for our own country, which all of us love, a prayer for understanding and that compassion of which I spoke. We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past, but we will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It is not the end of lawlessness, and it's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of people, and the vast majority of black people in this country, want to improve the quality of our life and want justice for all human beings that abide in our land. And what dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that and say a prayer for our country and for our people. Thank you very much.
Some thoughts about the anniversaries this week here on Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight. The funny thing to me is that the statement in Tulia, Texas, by a local multiracial civil rights leader, the comments of Bobby Kennedy, could almost in a way be applied to our plight here as we seek to integrate what we have learned over the past year of lost time at WBAI. The anguish that so many have been through reminds me of a time my brother told me, when you face such moments, those are the moments that define your character. In some cases, all you end up with is characters. Sometimes character is defined. And the very fact of being here now, and all of us about to work on an excruciating task of redeeming this radio station, listening and serving, it's a testament to the character of each and every one of you who has ever listened to this radio station and cared, to the support organizations for free speech radio, to the board, the Pacifica campaign, everyone, the listeners groups, concerned friends, everyone, the creative people who brought together zany and dedicated vigils, public events, all of that led to the new season here, which just brought me to the edge of tears to rejoin the dozens of people arbitrarily and utreasously banned and fired, removed in a way that made this radio station no longer a living organism because of the exclusion. It was a community that gathered here that lost a year of its time. But that's over. That's over. And Tuesday morning, right here in this studio with Bernard White, Janice K. Bryant, Sharan Harper, Errol Edlin, and me. Returning on Martin Luther King Day, free speech at last. It's a very moving and fulfilling moment. Because I was sitting there surrounded by a multicultural group of people dedicated to progressive politics, not just talking at you about politics. People seeking economic equity in this society and around the world. People seeking racial justice. And reminiscent of Selma, it is actually true that some of the people in this room, like Janice K. Bryant and Miguel Maldonado, they actually chose and went to jail. They went to jail in civil rights demonstrations. They weren't in Selma, but they were right here in New York at WBAI, where they were seeking a community of justice and opposing the temporary powers that were, who judged people literally by the color of their skin and not the content of their character. Guest commentary right now on Earthwatch, this one from Playtill Benjamin.
Ended. We threw the rascals out. It has been over a year since I was last privileged to speak over these airwaves. Not that I wasn't offered opportunities to do so during the Reign of Terror. Turning down those opportunities to talk to you over the last year, given the momentous events that had transpired in that time, was almost unbearable for a compulsive pedagogue like me. But as much as I longed to speak to the learned listeners who regularly tune into this station, or the untutored mobs who perchance stumble across this hallowed spot in the middle of the FM dial in the greatest city in the world, I cannot bring myself to cast my lot with the churls, blackguards, and charlatans who had commandeered these airwaves. Sneaking in under the cloak of midnight like cutty purses and pirates, seeking to silence the voices of truth and light under the cloak of darkness, they cast out devoted tribunes of the people who had fearlessly spoken truth to power in behalf of the powerless. They were I a Christian, I would say that they who had been cast out were crucified for doing the Lord's work. But since I am more inclined to ancient African cosmology, I sought the wisdom of shamans and sorcerers, then pitched in to help purge the evil spirits from this holy space. Hence, I raised my voice and lift my pen to that end, scribbling polemics in cyberspace, speaking out for truth and justice in public places, and cleansing the evil vibes that hung like a veil over our beloved WBAI with the blood of a newly slain lamb. And while I cannot attest to the ultimate effects of these rituals and conjurations, it is of little matter, because the usurpers and mudslingers have been swept away, consigned to the dustbin of history, and hopefully they will never be heard from again. In their stead, you can now wake to the warm basso profundo of Bernard White, the smoky contralto of Janice Kay, the effervescent soprano of Amy Goodman, and the poignant tenor of Robert Knight, who sounds as if he personally feels the pain of the world as he tells us the news of war, famine, and assorted tragedies and disasters around the planet. The whole episode with the airjackers was like an Orwellian nightmare, scripted by Franz Kafka and Ishmael Reed, where distinguished journalists with poke awards were silenced in face of mindless chatter of third-string mediocrities. The debasement of language alone was sufficient to chastise the usurpacious scoundrels. Love is hate. War is peace. Evil is righteousness, with their oxymoronic screed. Not since that amiable dunce Ronald Reagan called a nuclear missile the peacekeeper have we witnessed such linguistic perversion. Nowhere was this clearer than the cries of racism and sexism emanating from people who practice these vices on a scale previously unimaginable at this station. And the malicious decision to manufacture a race problem in order to mask unbridled personal ambitions, smearing the reputations of heroic white colleagues who have stood shoulder to shoulder with the black community in our tractor struggle against institutional racism, eloquently exposed their moral bankruptcy. For racial arsonists are no more attractive in black skins than in white skins. Equally absurd and duplicitous was all the prattle about democracy and freedom of speech from a dictatorial station manager who came to power in a midnight coup and set up a gulag in which democratic processes and free speech were forbidden upon pain of banishment. Instead, people who had previously worked in a relaxed, collegial environment suddenly found themselves under a surveillance regime so pervasive that it called to mind Big Brother and George Orwell's prophetic anti-fascist novel, 1984, or Michel Foucault's total surveillance environment. Under the reign of this reactionary clique, privacy became a victim of the camera's all-seeing eye, and sullen-faced goons roamed the halls intimidating all who might object to the creeping totalitarianism. With total control of the mics, these pugnacious sucker MCs sought to weave a new reality based upon lies and deception. Yet in the end, they went down to an ignominious defeat. Verily, beloveds, all this has come to pass in the fullness of time. Because, like Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite poet said, truth crushed to earth will rise again. Because the arc of the universe is wide, but it bends towards justice. This is Playfell Benjamin, commenting from New York.
This is Earthwatch, and we will be back with your phone calls shortly at area code 212-209-2900.
Many is the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and of all people, certainly miss you. Oh, but I'm all right. I'm all right. Just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away home. Don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know what you let love be shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. But we live so well. Think of the road we're traveling on. I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying,
My name is Robert Knight. You're listening to Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, a community that has returned to its senses after having taken temporary leave of them. To have the creative people who have reflected the life of the community or WBAI back again has some implications for scientific theory. In a discovery as momentous as the constancy of the speed of light under Lorentz and Einstein, or the astronomical phenomenon of the red light related to the greatest distances we can see, we have discovered another fundamental constant of nature, which I call the Utrecht limit, which is from the mathematical field of game theory or predator-prey relationships. You know, if you are trying to do development in a swamp, you cannot just go and kill the snakes, because the snakes burrow through the ground and make the ground crumbly and fertile so that other things may grow, so that the deers can eat or whatever herbivores are appropriate to this analogy. We've discovered the number of people who can be arbitrarily fired and banned from WBAI. The Utrecht limit is a number somewhere between 36 and 48. If you ban more than three or four dozen people from the radio station, you create a new dynamic in which the people themselves demand and get justice. That's why we're back, and that's all because of you on that side of the microphone and speaker system. Plato Benjamin made reference to racial pandering. That has troubled me. I am intimately familiar with the history and experience of racial injustice and bigotry in these not quite United States of America, here in the diaspora, in the wake of the Middle Passage. The unique history of slavery is one whose impact, I think, should be obvious, and whose echoes reverberate even in contemporary behavior, in the policing and imprisoning of people of color, the selective enforcement, the deprivation, the despair, and then the factories of prisons, the prison housing industry. We know about that. And there are people who have been emotionally affected by appeals to passion, and to have been called a word is something that people from the African heritage are very much concerned about and ought to have, you know, strong reaction. But when accusations thereof, false accusations thereof, or the attempt to link philosophical adversaries to the crudities of racism while not informationally serving that same community to whom one is appealing. That is fraud. As I've said on previous occasions, it's better to appeal to the highest qualities of a culture, of a group, to their strength and wit, their economic community building, so on, rather than just make them hurt and make them mad and then use that the same way that a commercial broadcaster does by putting a passionate story on the news just before the commercial break. In fact, the false use of race and invidiousness thereof is one of the primary techniques described by the FBI in 1957 and 1968 and in various memoranda of a program called COINTELPRO. And what pained me was to see that repeatedly done over the past year here at WBAI. And instead of appealing to our heights, some people appealed to our lowest levels of reaction. I felt that was wrong. I didn't think that we should be given a low job. I think that it's better to appeal to what's best in people. Don't want no low job. Where's the B? Where are the real brothers and sisters? Where's the B in the low job that we got last year? One other thing I'd like to, I guess, add before opening up the phones at Free Speech, WBAI. Thanks to the new Pacifica board under the leadership of Leslie Kagan. That it's weird. I'm still nervous. I'm still relearning the equipment here. And one of the tokens of return is those damn magnetic cards for that surveillance system. The surveillance system was installed by a guy from Washington who was doing work before for the progenitor of the Christmas coup. And I've worked in D.C. I worked at the Pacifica National News Bureau during the 1980s. And what I noticed was that all the men had to wear a shirt and tie, if not a jacket. And everybody working in the capital city, in the halls of Congress, press conferences, or virtually anywhere, everybody had these little metal beads with a ID card of some kind around, you know, the hanging from their front. And there was even a fashion to take and stick it into the shirt pocket, but let the chain hang so it would be known that you were somebody importantly identified, even if you didn't show exactly who it was you were. You know, that fashion has come into style here at WBAI with the installation of an egregiously and excessively intrusive surveillance system, one that we hope will soon be available for sale on eBay. And some of that fashion is here, and, you know, there are magnetic locks and time codes and so on. I think we'll outgrow that soon. But right now, some people might feel that Washington, D.C. culture that has dominated New York Pacific Radio WBAI for the past year. See, that approach to community interaction is not indigenous to New York. It's a Washington, D.C. way of thinking. Hell, you know, I have magnetic cards, but do I go wearing my Metro card with the cord around my neck to show people I got one? No, I do not. I keep it in my pocket, just like this damn ADT magnetic card. But sometimes people, you know, need badges as a form of solidarity for the side of the struggle they were on. And that, you know, that communitarian commiseration is understandable. I'd just like for us all to grow beyond that. And those who supported the past year are no doubt nervous over the enactment of the will of the Pacifica National Board with the return of the FNBs, as I like to call ourselves. And I hope that they, as all of us, rise to the occasion. I think we all have strong passions and emotions, and we've all been through a trauma manipulated from above. And I don't want to be exclusionary or recriminative. At the same time, I don't want the guy with the machine gun near the baby at the picnic. I don't want the gynophobe near the woman at the microphone. But short of that, I hope that we can come to an inclusive resolution that heartbeats can regain resonance with each other. Because a lot of people made some egregious mistakes. I dig it. I did the news the other day. I made a mistake. I felt awful about it. I made a mistake. Imagine how somebody must feel who's made mistakes all the time. We must have compassion because sometimes you or I might be that guy or that woman making the mistakes. So, with that, I'd like to actually engage in yet another form of free speech communication here at WBAI and welcome you, the listeners, to the airwaves of Earthwatch. And you are on the air. My name is Robert Knight. You're tuned to WBAI.
Robert, I hope you don't hear my phone. I'll go in the other room.
Well, actually, I do hope I hear
the
phone.
I know. Can you hear it now?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're still in the land as Dylan sings and Seth, and you know his newest CD, the first one about Tweedledum and Tweedledee, it said it all. And Nog and Magog are still afoot. And in the Muslim reading or the Quran, that is a pestilence that is on the earth, and they're doomed to open their pestilence of land ruination, which we're still seeing, but hopefully that's going to stop because the good people are going to stop it, the good of the earth. And I agree with you, and I loved Playfell's beautiful. I knew I knew his voice, but Playfell sounded a little bit hoarse, so I was wondering, is this Playfell or isn't it? And that was just too lovely, Robert. It should be recorded again. I'm playing with his words like churls and blackguards and coming up with many more synonyms, but so happy to have you back. And please, Robert, the forces that began all that thievery and treachery are still up to that. We don't need to think it's going to be gone. So while we're delighted you're back, and sorry to hear it's an ADT magnetic system, it's really disturbing. No wonder you don't have good machines.
As I said, I was hoping it would be obsolete before I received
it. I would hope so, too. But anyway, Robert, well done. That was a great program you presented. Happy to have you back, and I didn't want to hog all the time. But remember to listen to that, Dylan.
You can count on it as we get our air legs back.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, and you are on the air.
I am?
Yes, you are.
Well, rubber. I wonder if you can imagine what it might be like to have to go onto the cold subway on Wall Street and take a trip home every Wednesday night and not have Earthwatch. And then suddenly to have Earthwatch. Oh, boy.
The bell for freedom still rings.
What?
The bell for freedom still rings.
You said it. Who would have guessed it would happen tonight? Congratulations. We are so happy to have you back. It was a great, great shock the night that you were that you were down, that your voice was silenced. That was a great, great shock. And the Vigilers came out after that, and that should never be forgotten, that it was so, you know, that the need to have your voice back just spread through the city.
We have known much horror over this past year, which is balanced and exceeded only by the strength, love, perseverance, and support of everyone who listens to and knows the true spirit of WBAI. Even our disaster is fortunate in that way.
Correct.
I love you. You're doing great work yourself.
I love you, too.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, Janet Coleman. You're on the air. This is Earthwatch.
Welcome back, Robert.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I don't know what else to say except that. And I agree with you, put the past in context, and the past is history. And that context should be also those who do not know history are condemned to repeat it. So, put the past in the past.
We're fortunate because we have had time in exile to get our thoughts straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience that in some cases maybe ought to be shared.
I think so. And we'll have that benefit now that you're back.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to more great shows and more great voices and coming back to the station to answer phones to get us out of this money mess.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. This is Earthwatch. You're on the air. By the way, I should announce, with appreciation to the courtesy of who you would normally be hearing this time period, Paul D'Arienzo. He will not be here tonight. This is a special this week. But nevertheless, you can hear Paul D'Arienzo on the WBAI Evening News, as well as his insights as a labor analyst. So you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good evening, Robert. Oh, my. It's been a pleasure listening to you again. You might not remember me from way, way back when the Psycho History meetings, you met me and my mother there at the old Psycho History meeting way back in 83, I think it was. So it's been a long time since I've met you, my friend, my brother. I wanted to just welcome you back and to say that the events over the last year and a half, or actually over the last, basically year and a half, terrible tragedy. It would never have been tolerated at a commercial radio station. The management, Ms. Lead, whoever it is, should have been totally ashamed of themselves for what they have done. Maybe they should go to the Fox Network and try to ban some of the people over there. But in my case, my brother, never forget. But this one,
I like that. That's like making lemonade when you got lemons.
Yeah, indeed. But never forget, my brother. But in this case, I can't forgive what they did, bro. I can't forgive it.
Mm-hmm.
Punishment must come for that. Thank you very much.
Right.
Have a nice day.
Well, thank you. You know, that gentleman reminds me of a thought I had some many years ago. I was studying the science of symbology to the extent that it has been applied to the field called astrology, and there are many different dimensions of that language. And over the past year there's been a lot of dawning mysticism that I have found mystifying, because of its inability to be efficacious in the sensitive, inclusive world that it describes. And I've always believed that mysticism and astrology and spiritual studies and so on should be ethical. It should be related to the consensus reality of the world. Things like you hear on Health Action and the other program Kathy Davis does. These are programs that approach, I think, more the spiritual terms that I find useful. And when I first came here, I spoke about seeing if that language of astrology could have any symbolic use in understanding or taking meditations in current political events. I looked at the horoscope of Richard Nixon and tried my best during the time of his high crimes and misdemeanors to look at him spiritually. I saw, I think it was Mercury arising on the ascendant, and a very studious, meticulous, detailed criminal. And the spiritual insight that eventually came to me was that maybe Nixon was a great American to the extent that by focalizing corruption and the accumulation of power and the wicked and vicious use of that power, that maybe somewhere up in Soul Central Casting, Richard Nixon volunteered to be a case in point, to be a catalyst and make the rest of us angry enough for our rights to engage in the political activity that we did at that time. You see, he was playing the role of a villain. There are people who play that role, who have played this role, that role right here. And while I thought I could spiritually love the soul of Richard Nixon, at the same time, I did not want him running the country anymore. You see what I'm saying about protecting the community, being compassionate, and at the same time, protecting the community? That's all I'm trying to say. You're on the air. It's your turn. It's listener's night. This is a special Earth Watch. We'll be on until 3 o'clock tonight. Go ahead.
Well, good evening. Good morning. I wanted to call and say to you, bienvenido. And the more I listen, you know, to you, the happier I am that you're there, and the more thankful I am that Utrecht Lead and company did what they did, because I think that they helped us understand that we can't take things for granted, such as a radio station in the middle of the dial, in the center of the capitalist bastion of the world. We needed this experience because it gives us the opportunity to understand that before there were moments when some of the producers would be rude to the listeners, or the listeners would be rude to the producers, and we really were not appreciating each other as well as we could, and we weren't as eager to share as much as we were eager to bogart. And now I think that this has given us the opportunity to learn how to be as a little more humble and appreciative of what we have, and appreciative of our need to continue to fight in every way we can and in every way possible to keep what we have, and to, in fact, help others gain their rights as well.
It's wonderful to hear the harmony in your voice, too.
Oh, thank you. But that's, do you understand, I can't tell you, because it's so very difficult, you know, sometimes to admit to the fact that I really did cry because you weren't there, because there were, you know, such as you, you know, Bernard, Amy, each one of you, who I don't always didn't always, you know, I wasn't always so happy with each and every one of you, but who's happy with me?
That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So I thank you. I'm so happy.
I'm
glad, and I'm glad that you're happy, and I'm glad you said what you said, that it gave us a chance to learn. And it's true, we're learning.
Well, I greet you with an electronic hug. Welcome back. And thank you for being so brave.
Okay, you take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
This is Earthwatch. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, man. I was so happy when I heard your voice yesterday morning. I just screamed out loud. And it was pretty late. I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad. And, you know, tonight the music you were playing sounded just like a set I used to do when I used to sing for someone else's birthday. It was today. Al Lowenstein. And
great progressive, yes.
What?
Yes, great man.
He was, I was his official filibusterer because he was always late. And I would always introduce him.
You were the warm-up act.
Yes, I was, yes. But they would send me, I had my own car because I wasn't old enough to drive yet. I had my old car who drove me ahead of him, like one ahead of each coffee clutch or one ahead of at each meeting and rally. Anyway. But there was one wonderful song I used to put at the end of that set, and it was a song that I would dedicate to you now. Precious Friend, You Will Be There.
Thank you. I was rapt. You're on the air. This is Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight.
Okay. All right. Hi, Robert. It's Satanaeus. All right, two things I want to say. Oh, first of all, you talking about Richard Nixon. I think Lyndon Baines Johnson was the worst president, one of the worst presidents this country ever had. He was one in 19, I think, long before, many years before I was born, signed the 1965 Immigration and Reform Act. You remember that?
Mm.
A lot of people talk about that. Inside, I was thinking myself of going to Washington and actually finding a copy of this bill and of this piece of legislation to actually, you know, present documented proof, where it clearly stipulates, and I don't think this is a rumor, it's true, only 15% can come from Europe, and the rest from a lot.
You're speaking about the
third world countries.
The chromatic differential of immigration quotas, which prefer the.
For cheap labor and globalism. That's basically what it was for. Lyndon James Baines Johnson was one of the biggest piece of scum we have outside of Bill Clinton, and of course before Bill Clinton, George H. Bush, who helped engineer the Waco thing with the Waco, and also the other bitch, what's her name?
No, we don't talk like
that. Janet Reno.
No, we don't talk like
that. Well, she did the human barbecue there in Waco.
Well, yes, but that is because she is a corrupt and incompetent attorney general, not because of
she's
that,
a communist traitor.
Of that word that you used. This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Robert Knight.
Hey.
What a joy and pleasure to hear you back, finally. This is Pat out here in New Jersey. Volunteer and activist with Concerned Friends of New Jersey.
You all have done some extraordinary work there.
I was pleased to be a part of it.
Me too.
It was an honor. In fact, I've been a listener and supporter of the station for 19 years now, and volunteered a lot of time and donated a lot of money. But this past year, getting involved with a lot of the terrific activists out here, I think I did a small part, but certainly nothing compared to some of the other folks, listener activists, who were just amazing. And it was an honor to work with them to bring back wonderful people like you to the station. The other thing I wanted to share is something I think a concern for the future. I know others may have thought of this, but I think a lot of work has to be done to heal the listener abuse that has gone on in the last year. You know, there might be a lot of us who were activists involved in the fight to save the station who weren't fooled by the horrible abuse of people on the air over the past year, like Utrice and Clayton and Jabel and DiRienzo. We could name a half dozen others. But a lot of other listeners, I think, who were not involved day-to-day with the struggle could have been harmed and abused and may have been by this kind of behavior and the lies and deceitfulness and filth in some cases that was spewed out over the air. What are we going to do to heal that kind of horrendous abuse against the listeners that went on over the past year?
Well, one of the things I think the enactment of our return means, and the new voices and the new listeners, what it means is that our broadcast standards will once again begin moving upward. We saw an atrocious apprenticeship under the leadership of someone who was not skilled in the craft of radio. A microphone is a very dangerous and treacherous object because it does reveal your innermost sounds. And it is easy for a novice in the field of radio to assume that the microphone means that doing radio is a one-way process. It is not. It is an interactive process because the wisdom of what I or you or anyone at a microphone says depends on feedback and learning from those who receive that signal. It's a loop, not a line. And during that hapless set of administrative assumptions, we were forced to endure broadcasts that operate on the principle of that old joke about speaking to someone whose first language is a foreign language, or in the case here, a language other than English. And the joke is, of course, how do you communicate to someone who speaks English as a second language? Well, you say, "I'd like to go to the store." You shout at them. And that's what they did. That's what they did here for a year.
The lies, though, that piece by Clay Fell was really brilliant. Thank you for playing that.
Yeah.
Thank you again for being so gracious and beautiful. It's a joy to have you back. And
I'm in such good company, I'm forced to be that way to the extent I can. Thank you very much.
My Wednesdays were never the same without you there, and I'm so glad to have you back. And good luck to you and everybody. And boy, it's a great weight lifted off. I don't know how to express it, but I was
we're regaining consciousness.
Yeah, the meeting over the weekend, and the incredible eruption of joy that happened Saturday at 6:30. I don't know if you were there.
Yeah. Oh, it was at 6:17 p.m. That vote was taken.
6:17.
6:17 p.m. when the Sun and Venus were exactly collinear as viewed from Earth, and Mercury set on the western horizon.
That time was just incredible. I wish everyone could have been there.
Mm. Well, we are. We're there right here. Right here, right now. Thank you.
All right, Robert. Thank you.
This is Earthwatch. You're on the air. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Robert?
Yes.
I can't believe it.
Can you believe it?
I must tell you, when my wife and I, we got up yesterday morning waiting for you all to come on, and when you came on, we almost started crying. We couldn't even believe you all back. Anyway, I felt inspired to write a couple of words, and would you allow me to recite them?
I beg you to.
Okay. It's called The Wake-Up Call, January 15th, 2002. Happy first re-birthday, WBAI Pacifica. Free at last, peoples united, free at last. Towards a new Earth life order, beyond global cults and old world orders. Peace and drum. Thank you, Robert.
Perfect. Thank you. This is Earthwatch. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd just like to give my take on what has happened briefly. Before the coup in November, they had a demonstration out in front of 120 Wall Street. I remember I was there with one of my signs ranting about all the bad qualities of the national board and said, "Don't you dare touch our main asset, Amy Goodman." And, of course, eventually they did. And then I saw you go, and I realized it was all nuts because they were taking out the best quality programs. Even the Irish show went finally. I mean, it was just incredible. Plus, I had hopes because I thought they would honor the will of a wealthy donor, and, of course, it all turned out victorious. I have a little concern in that there are some very good programs that came on in the last year, and I'd like to name two of them. One is the Voices of the South, which I didn't hear on today. I happen to know Rashmi Mayer because I worked with him on the Cassini project. I mean, he was working on it, so that's how I got to know him, and he's a magnificent person, and he's an main advisor to the Secretary of the UN and travels over so many countries. I just hope, you know, a program like that can be preserved somewhere on the dial. Plus, Ralph Schoenman's program, Taking Aim, has very startling things. That's on Friday mornings at 10 to 12. He says some startling things, but I'm an investigative journalist somewhat myself and done a lot of research, and I know that half, at least, of what he's saying is completely accurate.
But which half?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of what he said about the Bushes and North.
Sure.
Is correct.
My form of investigative journalism is different from Ralph Schoenman's.
Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate a little more?
Well, first of all, I prefer primary sources, not citation of newspapers from, for instance, antagonist countries characterizing the operations in the enemy country. But then I haven't listened very much. I'm just saying that I believe we have different investigative methods. That's all I want to say.
Okay. It's true. He does cite a lot of other sources, but they do...
In the profession, it's called secondary sources, not primary sources.
Uh-huh. But they do paint a coherent picture, I think.
Yes, yes.
And anyway, I hope...
But your greater point is well taken, and that is, the nurturing of the rainforest of culture that is BAI must have room for new growth. And I think that process is in responsible hands at the present time.
Okay, well, it's certainly in much more responsible than the last year. I couldn't believe some of the things that came out.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. This is Earthwatch, and you're on the air.
Yeah, Robert, welcome back.
Hey.
I was just wondering, I tuned in late, but I just was always on my mind, knowing your really serious criticisms of Giuliani as everything unfolded after 9/11. I was wondering if you bought into any of this idea that he had redeemed himself because of the crisis that had occurred. And
Let me run down to the tombs and see. Let me run down to Central Booking and get a consensus there.
Yeah. Well, any thoughts on the passing of the Giuliani era now?
I will acknowledge that